This TFMR podcast is brought to you by Cyber Metals, a new digital precious metal platform from your friends at JM Bullion. Visit cybermetals.com for more details. Well, hippity hoppity, Easter is on its way. It is a three-day holiday weekend here in the U.S., and if you've been a part of TFMR for any amount of time, you know one of the things we like to do on three-day holiday weekends is check in with our old friend, the Golden Jackass himself. Of course, we're talking about Jim Willie. He is the editor of the Hat Trick Letter that can be found at golden-jackass.com. I think, Jim, we've been friends now for probably about 10 years, and it's always fun to get caught up. How are you, my friends? Good to hear your voice.
I'm on the rebound, I'm happy to say, and it's been a rather hellish several months. Seemed to have a climax of, I call February the month from hell. Don't need to get into details, but a lot of things had to be fixed because they got derailed, and here we are. It coincided February with the launch of the Ukraine campaign.
Yeah.
I got a lot of different. I could talk for 2 hours about Ukraine. I honestly could, but we're going to keep this high level. Where do you want to begin? I tell you, everything is breaking. Everything is broken. Everything is now becoming like in a shift toward a newer system. All the old is going away, and the cable lines and the pressures, they're all breaking. So this is like a climax of Weimar in my book. But where do you want to start?
Well, I guess that's basically where I wanted to go. I mean, this is where your expertise is so invaluable because, Jim, I mean, you've been writing and discussing this for at least as long as I've known you. You know, we've had multiple podcasts about, you know, the Eurasian Alliance, the gold-backed trade notes, you know, the de-dollarization, all of these different things that are now, you know, I mean, we all knew this was a long-term process, but events now have been set in motion that make that irreversible, it would seem. You know, like exactly, Jim, the U.S., the yield on the U.S. 10-year note was 174 6 weeks ago today. And it was that weekend that the U.S. kicked Russia out of SWIFT and seized, what, $300-400 billion worth of their foreign currency reserves that weren't held in Russia. And now the yield on the 10-year note is 285. I mean, it's basically gone up, straight up, like there's just been nonstop selling.
How many weeks? How many weeks of that? Is that a month and a half?
6 weeks ago, March the 4th. So okay. Yep. There are these signs that all this, you know, and we know these things are going. So I just thought, you know, this was a great time to check in with you to see what are your thoughts about what you've seen so far and where you think we're going, where this eventually is heading and how quickly it gets there. So let's start with what you've seen so far. I mean, it seems as if there's the trend that, you know, the train has left the station.
Yeah, the two biggest events that I have seen on the horizon in the last few months are the Russian peg of 1 gram to 5,000 rubles of gold and the revelation of the King Cobra element in SARS gain of function virus and remdesivir and in the messenger RNA vaccine, King Cobra. So if you hear me in the background saying King Cobra, while you're talking about, you know, Japan or Iran or wheat or food prices, King Cobra, that's just the little background element for one of the most fantastic stories of the century. But the Russians pegged 1 gram of gold to 5,000 ruble. And in doing so, they set in motion what I call a broken dollar control mechanism. This is very, very big. Okay, the Russian ruble has an inverted scale. What that means is how much is the dollar worth? 100 rubles. That was what it was roughly at the time of the announcement of this peg, or, you know, 97 or 96, something like that. And people did a conversion like Hal Turner. I pick on Hal because I think he made a gigantic error. But that's okay. He's a good guy, reports a lot of things, but he made a bad interpretation because he did the conversion of 100 rubles to dollar and said, well, that's a $1,600 gold price. Okay, well, that's all well and good, Hal, but you missed the main impetus there. The main impetus is that the Russians said, we've got an undervalued ruble. And I said in my report 2 weeks ago, it's in like the mid to late 90, mid to high 90s now. It's going to head down to about 80 something, low 80s. And if it gets to 80 flat, that's 2000 gold price. So what happened is the Russians said, we've got an undervalued ruble and we're taking full control of the gold price. And you can convert using the Russian ruble to dollar foreign exchange, and you can arrive at a gold price. If they get down to where they were 5 years ago on the ruble, which was 53 to the dollar, that would translate to a $3,000 gold price. Yeah. If they get it to 64, and remember, it's inverted. Right now, it's in like the mid-80s. I'm not really sure. But if it goes down to 64, that's a $2,500 gold price. Now, here's just rubber meets the road. People are going to want to do an arbitrage. So they're going to say, well, let's buy that discounted, idiotic London gold price. And let's sell it to the Russians, who are more than willing to pay that 5,000 rubles per gram. And in the process, the ruble is going up. So in the process, they're aiding that arbitrage. Okay, there's a whole lot more going on there. The Germans are under pressure now. They have two choices. They can commit economic suicide by following the American and the Biden show plan, by, you know, cutting off that Russian gas supply, which is something like 65% of their gas needs nationally. Yeah, they can do without that. Sure, let's follow the Bidens. Yeah, that'll work really well. Let's shut down the BMW plants, the BASF plants, the Thyssen Krupp plants. Let's shut down Mercedes. Let's shut down Audi. Let's shut down the whole country so we can tip our hat and do jackboot salute to the Bidens and the Davos cabal. Not going to happen. But when the Russians told the Germans you can pay in euros, the Gazprom bank became front and center. And they said, you can pay in euros at Gazprom. They'll convert to rubles and it's all good. But then the EU officials stepped in and raided the Gazprom bank offices just to make sure that everything gets screwed up really effectively, and the jackboots continue. Okay, the Germans are going to have to sell treasury bonds, buy euros, and pay them in rubles.
Yeah,
that's why you see the treasury bond yield rising. That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, no, it's relentless too. I mean, yeah, no, there's other things going on, but it is relentless. It's a straight up 45 degree angle on the chart. Go ahead, Jim.
Let me add something about Germany. I had my lifelong adult impression. I mean, ever since I'm in my 20s and 30s, start my career working away, you know, reading Wall Street Journal, reading Barron's all through my younger years, learning a lot. That was my education. I learned that the Germans are probably the smartest white man tribe on the planet. And that is no longer the case. I've got German clients and they report to me that they're extraordinarily frustrated. They go to like Rotary meetings. Do you know what the hot topic is at the Rotary meetings over lunch?
What?
Climate change.
Oh no.
I said, look, Mark, tell me if you're talking to 100 people at your lunch for the Rotary Club or whatever you call it, of the 100, how many are talking about the dollar and banks and currencies and economics, and how many are talking about climate change? And he said, it's 95 talking about climate change. It's on the news every single day.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so he said, we've been dumbed down, Jim. Langley's in control of our news. So you have the dumbed down Germans, and even when they're dumbed down, they're still smarter than the Americans. But are they going to do the Biden jackboot salute and commit suicide. Because right now, there are LNG ships that are inadequate to fit to fit the bill and fill that gap of gas supply. They're at the Baltic ports near Germany. They're at 2.5 times the price of the Russian gas. I want to introduce something here, Lord Hemke. I always have trouble with your name of Craig or Greg. I stumble when I... Lord Hemke is so much easier because I know you're part of the Star Wars legacy.
It's just your age, Jim, that's all.
I've got to introduce something in here to the formula of Germany and Russia. It's Iran. The Iran nuclear deal was a scummy, corrupt, ugly, filthy, extraordinarily criminal contract. It involved payments of billions in narcotics money from the Obama administration, but it tried to smooth things over with Iran, let them continue with a nuclear energy program, a nuclear refinement program, promised to be a peaceful community global member, get away from the proliferation, you know, make a commitment toward non-proliferation and move forward. And this is a very big part of currency revaluation, which is a topic probably best not discussed at this time. But in the process, Iran appears to be a central axis with numerous spokes going out on a wheel, and the wheel is the Eurasian trade zone. Mm-hmm. And these spokes are bilateral trade deals. I mean, like with Pakistan, with Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. Oman, Qatar, Iraq, Germany, China, Thailand, Russia. Oh my gosh. Iran is the awakening and the starting bell of the Eurasian trade zone. They got 82 bilateral trade deals, and they just announced a gold-backed central bank digital currency. I don't want to get into the entire crypto space. We don't have enough time. But my point is this. This is what I think might come of Germany versus Russia. The Germans announced, we're short on gas. We've got to get it from somewhere. And we're going to look at alternatives. And they may do some kind of a sleight of hand and look for Gazprom coming from southern sources that might be Turkish stream, which is Russian still. They're going to try to get Iranian gas, but I just learned a couple of days ago from a colleague of mine with connections in the region that Iran's gas supply to Europe would also be an LNG and also not be cheap. So Germany is caught. Iran might work out some deal with Germany. Iran will work a deal with Germany to somehow, this is going to be a sleight of hand. Germany will get the gas. Iran will backstop it, but it'll really be Russian, and it'll be under the table handshake, Russian gas continues.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's kind of what I expect, but even if that happens, you're going to have a situation where the Germans have to sell treasury bonds, buy euros, give them to Russia. Russia converts them to ruble. Ruble is going to head toward 50-something, 50 and 60. And when that happens, they're going to control the gold price. And that's how we get to 2,500, Craig. That's how we get to 2,500. I've had this question like 100 times from clients in the last 3 years. How are we going to get to 2,500 and 3,000? This is it.
Well, let me ask you this, Jim. You've been talking about the cross-border settlement, you know, ways outside of SWIFT and the dollar system. Literally, as long as I've known you. And it seems to be we're headed that direction. I read something interesting last night from that Pepe Escobar guy.
Yeah.
Who interviewed, there's that lady Elvira, whatever her name is, who's the head of the Russian Central Bank. It was someone who's like a big economic advisor.
Former.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, he's not fond of her anyway. But he said the plan should be, or is, or what he would suggest, or I can't remember, you know, how grounded this was that, you know, the whole SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, you know, they call it the Global South or something like that, would come up with an SDR of all of the participating nations' currencies weighted in this basket off of GDP, but also natural resources, gold, oil and gas, everything kind of backing this unit. Seemed kind of complicated, more complicated than needed to be. But what do you think of that idea? I mean, are they generally headed in that direction?
Well, they might be. And I don't know, you didn't mention IMF in there. Is that assumed?
Well, this guy was saying they should just tell all their dollar denominated stuff. They should just tell whoever holds that debt to go piss up a rope, because they've already sanctioned all these countries, and they've, you know, either frozen their assets or, you know, haven't given like Russia a chance to pay it back in the first place. But then there are other countries too that okay, if those are the rules you want, then I guess we don't have to pay you back. And then just wipe that slate clean. It's all, you know, debt considered assets by all countries and banks.
I don't know what they're planning to use the SDR for, to settle on
to settle their own trade in their own little block.
Okay, but what little block? Western Europe?
No, Russia, China, India.
Oh, the SCO, the former Soviet republics. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they might, except if they do an SDR, you might have the International Monetary Fund in the room.
And this was saying they tell them just to piss off.
Okay. But anytime you say SDR, you're talking about an IMF concept. So
right.
I think what you might be referring to is the Russians are going to develop their own SDR.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nations will.
That sounds like a very possible commodity basket peg. Very, very possible. But it's going to be hard to enforce, because one thing we've learned about the Russians in the last 20 years is they don't have their ass out of, they don't have their head out of their ass when it comes to financial management. I mean, market controls, transaction management, debt control, linkage to bank activity, international trade transfers, quarterly settlement, backstop of options and futures. They don't have any idea how to do that. And the British are experts, and that's what they do to introduce their extraordinary corruption. The Russians are like, you know, in the kindergarten trying to get into third grade, and the Londoners are college graduates of fraud. Okay, that's a very big problem for the Russians. So if they want to create a commodity basket SDR to settle trade, more power to them. And I think where that is leading is to a Russian central bank digital currency, the CBDCs. We're going to hear a lot about CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, and we're going to hear a lot about Basel's attempt to resurrect essentially the Phoenix, but not call it that, because that was a dead on arrival baby. Basel's going to try to do their own central bank digital currency. This CBDC is going to be CBDC. Yeah, it's going to be all over the press in the next year or so. It's going to be a battle of our CBDC is better than your CBDC. No. The CBDC that's going to prevail is ours globally for global trade. No. We've got a regional CBDC. Oh, no, no. We got bilateral CBDC, and it's really prevalent. It's going to be a mess, and it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. But to your point, the Russians need to do something like this. They need a platform, but they've already got something. I think they've got Instex, which has been used with Europe.
Yeah.
They've got the CIPS, which is used with China.
Yeah.
They've got another one that I can't remember the acronym for that I believe had been used for the former Soviet republics. I got a funny little point to add in here. The Soviet Union dissolved, but their military retained a Soviet bloc flavor. They never disbanded the Soviet military with respect to all of its republics being part of that military. They broke the political, but they did not break the military. So when you're watching Ukraine now, there's a Belarus element in the Russian military. When there was a defense of Kazakhstan, that's when it became evident. It was Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan. They all had their stans in the military working with the Russians side by side. The Soviet military never broke up. And you know, I got to say something funny. The Russians did not declare war. They decided to do a cleanup operation in Ukraine to prevent the ethnic cleansing in the Donbass. And I don't think we have enough time to cover Ukraine adequately, but let me just say that the Omnibus Act and the White Alliance, Team Trump, whatever you want to call it, they have seized well over $20 trillion in elite assets from crimes against humanity. And a lot of that came from the Davos, let's just call it their 1,000 member force. And then at the ground level, King Vladimir went in and picked the pockets for their trafficking cash flow. So the Davos 1,000 are missing their bank accounts and their cash flow. And that is why we're seeing a climax right now. And I believe firmly that the best element of the US military is sharing logistics with the Russian military. Where are the biolabs located? Because they're almost all funded by the US Department of Defense. Where are they located? That's the information that Putin received. And right now it's a matter of, you know, isolating the Ukrainian military, forcing them to lay down their arms, capturing and killing every last one of the Azov militant right-wing Nazis who are putting tanks under apartment buildings, using the residents of apartment buildings as human shields so they can't be bombarded with artillery and mortar fire. This is getting to a climax phase, and it's in Mariupol, Donetsk, and Luhansk in the east part of Ukraine. But, you know, to your point, the Russians need a method to be paid. If they've got a commodity basket, it'll be to their favor. They're going to punish the Europeans for dicking around with sanctions by telling them you got to pay in rubles, but we'll accept euros. The point is, we don't want dollars, and you got to dump your treasury bonds as a result. Right. That's the big rub.
Right.
And that's, can we turn to Japan?
Yeah.
On a pivot.
Well, because that's kind of, you know, that's okay. That's underlying all of this as well. So yes, let's go, because that kind of takes us now to, all right, let's start looking forward. What does it all look like 6-12 months from now? But the Japan thing is real time. So yeah, go there.
A year ago, Japan made a strategic decision, and they didn't really advertise it much. They started drawing down on their $1.0 trillion U.S. Treasury Forex reserve account. They took some criticism and some heat from the Rockefeller Rothschild combine. And right now, Japan is at the highest level, is in a state of war. They're kicking out the Rothschilds. The Rockefellers don't have many players left. And the where rubber met the road for the last year in Japan is that they're dumping treasury bonds to buy gold. But in the meantime, they don't go straight to gold. They sell for local Japanese yen currency. And I believe a good portion is going to gold. Not all. So the result is the yen is rising and the Japanese are pushing up the gold price. I just checked the chart for the yen, and it's inverted. So you got to be careful in reading it. A naive person would say, well, look at that yen chart. It's all going down. I guess they're all weak. They don't know what they're doing. The dollar is powerful. No, it's the other way around. It's how many yen per dollar, just like with the ruble. When a currency has a small value with respect to the dollar in its denomination, having nothing to do with strength or weakness, they report it as how many in a dollar.
Yep.
And several months ago, it was like 85, 87, 88 per dollar. And now it's 79 and 80. So the yen is rising. That's 10% in 3 months. That's 10% in 3 months. That's a very big move for currencies. If you get a 2% move in a month, it's considered very big. And it usually means billions could be won in the futures market. So there's your evidence that the Japanese are dumping treasury bonds. They see the writing on the wall. They don't want to be the last man holding, as called the bag holder. Who are going to be the bag holders? Well, the Europeans are being forced to dump their treasury bonds by Russia and by the Davos idiots, who, by the way, announced that they weren't going to take Russian good delivery bars at London to just aggravate the shortage of gold. I mean, golly, how stupid can they be? Lord Hepke, let me just say something off the wall. It looks like Davos is trying to engineer a $3,000 gold price, and they want to blame Russia because it's going to come with derivative explosions and bank failures. But it's Russia's fault.
Now, hold on. That's not that terribly off the wall. I got a guy I've known for some time by the name of Tom Luongo. You ever heard of him?
Sure.
Tom suggested this was, I don't know, last summer. He said, you know, that what the gold's going to go up because now all of a sudden the ECB needs it to go up. Yeah, because it's
the Euro Central Bank need it to go up?
Because that's the only asset they have.
Okay.
And they've got all this debt, and as rates rise, the debt gets marked down, and the only asset they have is gold.
They're insolvent as central bank, and they need gold to go up to get out of the insolvency.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
But that will also enable the Europeans to buy more Russian gold. I'm sorry, more Russian gas. Sorry. Their gold account in Europe will go up, and they'll be able to afford to buy more Russian gas.
Right. That's true. Yep.
That's very big. That's very big.
Sure.
So we could have Davos looking to enable their own gold account to go up and blame Russia, because when it happens, you're going to have derivative failures.
Right.
These are the $100 trillion derivatives. I call it the whirling dervish foundation with no mass.
That's a big name.
That's a nice description. It has no mass. It cannot bear weight. But it has an illusion of a foundation because it's a whirling dervish.
Yeah. Okay.
That did not come. Believe me, that took several months to come up with. It didn't just come out of my mouth.
But it's not a bad description.
It's a good one. It's a very good one. Everyone knows what a whirling dervish is. Well, most people do. Anyway, we're going to see a breakdown of the banks. Now, look at it two ways. They could say, "Well, we got caught in the COVID bullshit." The planned pandemic, the hoax. We got caught with that. We got caught with the lethal vaccines, a lot of dead people. And that has caused an economic crisis and a banking crisis. And it looks like we're going to have bank failures. And we got caught with our vaccine and pandemic. Oh, now we got a new blame. It's Russia. Ukraine was triggered like a lit fuse. In order to move the blame away from vaccine COVID to Russia for bank failures.
I can go along. Yeah, no, I've been actually, that's all part of what we've been talking about here at TFMR for months.
Yeah. Well, it's not outrageous.
No, it's not.
It's not even conventional. But we got another threat on the horizon with respect to Europe, and that is the breakdown of the euro currency. That 4 to 6 months ago?
Right.
Well, around 113. Well, now it's 108.
Yeah.
Now that's nowhere near as big as the yen. The yen went up a lot more than the euro went down. It could be that the Japanese are selling euro bonds also, but they got far more treasury bonds. They got it for the longest time. The announced tick report was 1.0 trillion Japan, 1.0 trillion China. But my point here is that Europe has a euro problem, and maybe they're going to have to rely on the gold on the gold account in order to fortify the integrity and trust of the euro. But there's something that's going to rescue the euro that they won't like. They're going to sell treasury bonds and buy euros. And then the Russians are going to take the euros. And here's a weird call for you that I'm certain you hadn't thought of. The Russians might not want to get rid of the euros that they're paid by Germany for gas. They might want to develop their euro account for a couple of purposes. Make a Russian euro petro vehicle, like the Saudis and the petrodollar.
Yeah.
But the Russia euro petro vehicle could be used as a weapon to draw in Europe and Germany into the Eurasian trade zone.
Right.
So the Germans would dump their treasuries to join the trade zone. And they don't want the Russians to sell those euros.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Russians will say, we're going to sell a bunch of the euros to lift our ruble. And we're going to sell a bunch of the euros to lift gold. But we want to keep a bunch of it, like maybe 50% or more in euros for the Russian. I don't know what to call it, the Russian petro euro.
That would be, I think, a good term. I mean, and that makes sense. You know, Jim, I could see them doing that, and they would not do that just unilaterally out of the blue. They'd need to scapegoat something. Somebody else would have to shut down or move away from the petrodollar system first. And so that has clearly been an issue.
What's the wrinkle, though? The wrinkle. If the Russians say we're going to hold a half of the euros that Germany and France and Italy has a bigger gas dependent upon Russia than the Germans do. But Italy gets the southern Gazprom pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
At issue with Germany is the Nord Stream. They turned off Nord Stream 1. But get a load of this. The Russians are going to say to the Europeans, look, you idiots, you've got negative yield. We're not going to hold these with the negative yield. So how would it be, Lord Hemke, if they tell the Europeans, why don't you peg your euro bond to 1% higher than the treasuries at all times? Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a problem with negative yield. The Bund in Germany is a negative yield, but it just went into positive territory.
Yeah, for the first time in years.
Just got up to, I think it's 50 or 60 basis points, and it's doing a vertical move. You know, it's going vertical from small negative to under 1%. But, you know, look at the chart. It's a notable event.
Huge move.
And it means to me that the Germans might be cutting a deal with Russia. Don't worry, we've gotten out of negative yield territory. Let's make this deal happen. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about mega forces here.
Yeah.
This is very exciting, but who's the loser? On every single count, it's the United States and the dollar.
Right. Yeah.
The treasury bond. Every single one. With Iran, they're building up the Eurasian trade zone. And I thought the trans-Iranian pipeline was farther along, but it's made no progress in 10 years. I thought it was going to hook up with the European Southern pipeline. It's just not happening. So there could be some kind of a joint deal with Iran and Qatar with respect to delivery of less expensive LNG to Europe. I don't know what Europe is going to do if they don't maintain the Russian gas supply. It's more than Nord Stream. Okay, this all came to a head with the German parliament, the Bundestag, making an approval of Nord Stream 2. And it got stopped. And because of following the Davos jackboot salutes, the Germans turned off Nord Stream 1 and the Russians turned off the Yamal Russia pipeline going through Poland. The Germans are out of natural gas. We're going to see 50% unemployment in Germany if they don't get their act straight.
Yeah, fast.
BASF is the only company exec that has come out saying, this is lunatic. BASF, in my opinion, not an expert, but they seem like they're big chemical conglomerate that's a lot bigger and wider than Kodak. BASF, they do film developing. They do a lot of other chemistry things. It's a
chemical company, yeah.
It's a chemical conglomerate. And they've let it be known, this cannot stand. We need Russian gas. What about BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Porsche, Volkswagen? I think the biggest dollar volume in Germany is Volkswagen and I don't want to say, but they're all big.
Right.
And there's more. They've got two different brands they don't export. There are about eight car making companies in Germany. It's a gigantic car factory. I think it's Opel and Vauxhall are domestic only. And they're fine little cars. And they've got Ford Germany. Don't leave them out. It's a subsidiary of Ford.
It's almost, yeah. I mean, it's a huge country with all that industry. And then not only that, with a huge population.
85 million.
Yeah. And they're at that point where push is coming to shove.
They're double the size of California. They're bigger than France. They're bigger than Italy. They're bigger than Spain. And they have all their energy imported.
Right.
Here's what's not talked about regarding Germany. Where do they get their food imports from?
Right.
I've done some checking and a good slice of it comes from France. That's not going to change. But I believe a good slice of it comes from Eastern Europe and Russia.
Ukraine, Russia, Poland. Yes. Sure. Yes.
Ukraine is in the top five for corn, soy, and wheat. And they're number one. And here's a funny one. Ukraine is number one in sunflower seeds. I made a forecast 2 weeks ago with an interview. It's just a kind of a fun thing to say. I said, Major League Baseball is kicking into gear. We're starting up.
I know where you're going.
I said, don't expect to see baseball players in the dugout spitting out sunflower seeds.
Right. There's going to be a shortage.
There's a shortage. And I've watched about five or six games. Large portions. I haven't seen any sunflower seeds anywhere.
Now we're getting to where the rubber meets the road. Now you start.
But there's also sunflower oil.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And that's a big, I just don't know a whole lot. I think it's involved in livestock feed.
Oh, it's a food ingredient too. I mean, in cooking oil. And.
Well, not just cooking, but it's a food item like with livestock feed. They squirt it in there and it's a small percentage, but it adds to the nutrition for the cows and whoever. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, Jim, let's do this.
We got a breakdown. This is a breakdown and the dollar's a loser.
All right. So and again, I apologize to everybody. Dumbo here, your host, in all the craziness of the last couple of weeks. On my end, I completely forgot it was Easter weekend. And so Jim was able to, I'm very grateful on very short notice to spend some time with us. But I've got to wrap up because I've got two other things I've got to do here on Good Friday morning. So Jim, in our remaining, again, 3, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, what should we watch for? Yeah, we'll talk again probably, 4th of July? What over the next 90 days, what immediately comes to your mind about, well, this will be a signpost. Oh, this will be something that I'll be watching for, that sort of thing.
The gold price zipping over 2000 suddenly. The okay. silver price zipping toward 30 and above suddenly. The treasury bond TNX continuing from the 285 over 3%. And something that's not quantitative. Rumors and events that indicate the treasury bond complex is fracturing, like default, and talk about instability of the bond market, instability for the banking system that relies upon the bond market as a foundation, right. instability of treasuries derivatives, the petrodollar links the dollar treasuries and the oil price. I've got a wacky comment to make here. Sometimes wacky is logical, but you know, just hear me out quickly. I believe the Biden show is permitted to continue with some kind of a deal with the devil to allow the Rockefellers to continue with managing the energy policy, even if it's destructive toward the U.S. economy, in order to get out from under $100 trillion petrodollar derivatives. The Rockefellers are in charge of that. That's why we see over $100 oil. We might see $150 oil. So that's another marker to watch. But watch Iran. Watch everybody schmooze with Iran. And watch the United States not interfere. Iran is going to be the cog, the axle of the Eurasian trade zone. So you got precious metal prices, bond yields, rumors of fracture for the bond foundation, derivative nightmare, and maybe one big Wall Street bank going under. But if one goes under, they all go under. Oh, yeah. So it'll be indications that say, let's just say, you know, the Bush narco bank, Bank of America, the Bush narco bank, Bank of America. It might be close to going under, and then it gets rescued because of comments like, we cannot let one go down because it produces instability for the entire big bank structure.
Too big to fail, Jim.
Too big to fail. That comes back. Okay, yeah. Watch Iran. I am told by one really solid new colleague of mine, I'm developing what I call some crypto colleagues. And my standard colleagues for 10 years, they're still there, but it's a reduced number that keeps the conversations going. Apart from that, I've got five other crypto experts who like, you know, XRP and other things, but they're very big on following the central bank digital currency, the CBDC. There's going to be a war for the CBDCs, a big war. And I'm hoping Basel loses the war. They're going to try to force things upon us. So that's another thing to watch, the okay. CBDC war.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, don't expect a tremendous amount of progress on all fronts before July 4th, the next holiday. But, you know, we got Memorial Day coming up. I don't know how we're going to handle that, but I'm around.
That's
I'm
true, around. Too. All right. Well, all right. As we wrap up, tell everybody again about the hat trick letter and then the consultations you do too.
Golden-jackass.com. Believe it or not, the new website has three full years now. So the old one is gone. The new one is very much rooted. It's a solid system, better graphic. Okay. The flagship product is clearly the hat trick letter. There's only one newsletter, the hat trick letter. And I'm on a rebuild phase. You may remember that last summer I had to find a different payment processor. That was an extraordinarily disruptive period of my life. It almost cost the life of a dear one. And it cost me close to half a year of income. It was very destructive, but now I'm rebuilding. I have not recovered from that lost income. That's something you can't recover from. Golly. Yeah. Six-figure loss. Yeah. You'll overcome that in a couple of weeks. Not. I'm rebuilding right now in the client base. I'm very pleased at the new clients that I'm getting. So sign up. The new system works. It takes all major credit cards, and we're going to have an issue in the next several months of what happens to credit cards, what happens to bank accounts, what happens to the dollar, what happens to, you know, cash in your closet, that sort of thing, your wall safe. What happens to all the narco millions that are stored in, you know, basements like El Chapo, you know? Okay, but golden-jackass is the website. Click on the subscribe button, hat trick letter. And I'm noticing a new phenomenon, Lord Hemke, that's really quite scary. I've got a lot of consult orders, and there is a common theme of heavy worry.
I bet.
Wealth preservation. Yeah. And I'm helping a number of clients with that. And I'm getting some other types of consults of like spiritual guidance people, not a lot, but some enough to make a difference to me and my personal psychological makeup.
That's cool too.
Yeah. So golden-jackass.com newsletter consults. And if you're really well to do and want to help me out and assure me of my survival, and this has happened quite a few times in the last month or two or three, the sponsor button, that's for financial support, big financial support. I got one a few days ago. It knocked my socks off. It just changes my entire day. A guy from the Netherlands. And if you're listening to this, Doc, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I call him Big Doc, and I'm signing off Little Doc on my thank you note. I have my fun. But, you know, I'm just not a medical doctor, but I am a gynecologist.
Amateur. No, professional. Anyway, Jim, thank you. Again, it doesn't surprise me that people thank you personally like that, because you provided great insights over the years. And it's something, that's why I love having you on, because you look at things, not necessarily uniquely, but you do think outside the box and you do look over the horizon. And what's incumbent upon everybody, I guess, is to get as many sources of information that they can, so that you can make your own decisions and you stay alert, and you provide information every single time we speak for people to consider. And yeah. Again, get them thinking and
a different angle.
Right. And so we're all in your debt in that regard. So we will visit again soon. I promise. I thank you though for coming on today, and man, just keep on going. Let's keep in touch, and it's going to be a busy year.
Watch the ruble. That's another key.
That's
the
ruble.
The ruble. And it's not easy to invest in, so don't bother. Okay. Right. Talk to you later. Thank
all
you.
All right. All the best, my
Have
friend.
Have a good holiday. Everybody. And happy hunting of the chocolate eggs.
Yeah. Thank you. I got to stay. The ones with peanut butter in them are what get me. But anyway, thank you, Jim. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, have a great, hopefully peaceful, restful, and relaxing holiday weekend. And then we'll see what next week brings.